in my experience in working with a therapy dog, people can say things to an animal they can't say to people.
Options therapy dog Fonzie continues expanding his vocabulary. Hayes Post reporter Christina Janney speaks with executive director Jennifer Hecker about that and more on this episode of the Post Podcast.
Well, I think that we were going to talk a little bit this morning about Fonzie and his experiences learning to talk.
Yes, his
Fonzie
speech
is a
journey.
Dog. Fonzie is a dog, and he's a therapy dog for Options. So why don't you update us on Fonzie's progress?
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know about Fonzie, he's a 3-year-old golden doodle that was rescued through the Humane Society here in town a few years ago. And back in January, we started this journey to start to communicate with our therapy dog. And so we've been using a set of buttons called through a company called Fluent Pet. And there it's basically it's augmentative alternative communication is what it's based on. And so we have these little buttons that we can record a word on the button. And then when he pushes the button, it activates the button, it says the word, and then he can tell us what he wants. It turns out he's a very wanty dog. I think the last time we were here, he had 4 words in his vocabulary. We've added, a couple weeks ago, we added the words want and toy. They were the last 2 buttons. We had a pack of 12 buttons, and so we were down to our last 2 buttons, and we were trying to figure out. My husband and I found ourselves having this very bizarre existential conversation about what an animal might want to tell a human so that we could decide what buttons we were going to, what words we were going to record, you know, because we just had these last 2 buttons left to use. So we decided on want and toy. We're regretting want. He's very wanty.
So what are the words that Fonzie knows now?
So he can say want. He can say outside, scritches, which is how he asks for pets, specifically like little head scratches. Uh-huh. He can say toy, treat, and play.
Okay.
Yes. And then, so as we, when we... added want and toy, he started making up his own words.
Really?
And yeah. That. So we had introduced want and toy at the same time and had been modeling want, because how do you teach a dog want? Another weird existential conversation my husband and I had in our living room. How do you teach a dog want? And so the best way is just modeling it. So want, whatever. And want was a great word because want worked with all of the buttons he already had. He could combine them with anything. And so we were sitting in the living room one day. Treat is his favorite button. And we had given him a number of treats. And he'd go over and hit the treat button and run to the treat jar. So we gave it to him. And then we told him it was all done treats. No more treats. And he did not like that. So he kept hitting the treat button and we kept telling him all done. And then he came over and started booping me with his nose, which is another thing that he'll do if he wants to get our attention. Still no treats. And so then he started pacing around the buttons. He kind of chuffed at me a few times and stomped his back feet a little bit because we still weren't giving him the treats. So he hit on the outside button. And now a little backstory on the outside button. When Fonzie goes outside, and this has been true since he was a puppy, as soon as he comes in, he gets a treat. He doesn't have to ask for it. You go potty, you get a treat. So we could see him. I could see him pacing around the soundboard where his buttons were. And sure enough, he hit the outside button, and we were like, well, he wants to go outside, but then he gave himself away and ran straight to the treat jar. So we figured, well, if you're not going to give me a treat, if you take me outside, for sure I'll get a treat. But he gave himself away by not even going to the back door. He just cut out the middleman and went straight to the treats.
And you said he was combining a couple of words?
Yeah. So this day we're sitting there and he wants treats and we won't give him any treats. This seems to be a routine pattern in our house. And we're over by the soundboard and he was smashing treat and toy. And sometimes it would be treat and toy, treat, toy. And sometimes it was toy, treat. And I just thought at first he was just mad and smashing the buttons. But he kept, but I noticed that he would hit them and then look at me. He would sit and look at me. So I could see there was some purpose. He was trying to tell me something. And so I was standing there asking him, do you want a treat or a toy? And he just kept hitting the button, treat, toy, treat, toy. I'm standing there scratching my head going, what is he trying to tell me? And I'm looking at our basket of toys and my eyes fall upon this little rubber strawberry that we have that you can fill with treats. And then he put it on the floor and he rolls it around and the treats come out. And I looked at my husband and I said, surely not. That's not what he wants. Because we've never named it. We've never called it anything. I think we just fill it up and hand it to him. And so I reached down and picked it up and I looked at him and he got so wiggly, he was almost bouncing up and down. And I said, is this what you want? Is this the treat toy? He got so wiggly. Mm-hmm. And so I said, all right, well, let's test this theory a little more. So I slowly walk over to the treat jar and he is on my tail, wiggling, slobbering. He is so ready for this treat toy. So we filled it up and I hit treat and toy and gave it to him and off he went. He was super happy. And my husband and I were just standing there going, what? He named something we've never even named. That was mind blowing. And then later on, so we went back to watching our movie. He's rolling around the toy. And then he noticed he came over and was booping me with his nose. And I said, what, tell me what you want. So we walked over to the soundboard and he looked around and he hit want and he looked at me, but that was the only button he pushed. And so I said, well, what do you want? Want what? Want. And he just kept hitting want, want. And he would look over at this corner in the living room. So after a couple minutes, I was like, well, okay, I'm good. So I got off my fat butt and walked over to the soundboard and I said, tell me what you want. So I pushed want. And he was looking, so I turned my gaze to look, and that darn treat toy had rolled underneath a table and gotten stuck, and he wanted me to help him get it out. But we didn't have a word for help, so he just wanted it.
So how does Fonzie fit into the mission of Options? How does he help you help people?
Therapy dogs are incredible listeners. And in my experience in working with a therapy dog, people can say things to an animal they can't say to people. Animals are safe. They don't judge. They're not going to argue with you. They're not going to tell you that something is your fault or that you did something wrong. Animals are, they're like our best furry secret keepers. We can download all of our thoughts and feelings into our pets. And so when people experience trauma, Fonzie is another tool. And I feel weird referring to a sentient being as a tool, but he is a resource that we have for survivors who really are struggling to talk with a person. They can relax and put that energy into the dog and be able to talk about what's happened. And that is the first step for many people in healing. So that's one way that we use Fonzie as a therapy dog. Another way that we use him is to talk about healthy relationships with high school students. And we have learned, we are learning so much in the 3 short months that we have been teaching our dog to communicate. The staff have learned a whole lot. I certainly have learned a ton just about the kind of healthy relationship you have to have with an animal to be able to communicate at the level that we are starting to be able to communicate with one another. There's a high level of trust, and you have to really pay attention. I have to watch his body language, and I have to really think about what is he, because he doesn't have words in the way that humans have words, but what is he communicating through his body language, through the buttons that he can tell us? And all of those are really important elements in communicating with other people, especially in a healthy relationship. Someone can say, I guess, but that's not the same as consent. You can hear in that tone of voice. You can see the shrug of the shoulders. You can see that that's not really a full yes. And so being able to to talk about how you communicate in a healthy way, what has to be there, the trust that has to live between two people, is a really great and interesting way to talk to kids and to make it a little more fun and not just, you know, some boring talking head at the top of the classroom, you know, yapping.
I understand that Fonzie did make a trip out to Hayes High recently.
He did. He did. He did great. We talked about body language. We talked about communication. We talked about, and then we made a lot of ties and correlations between how you communicate, the trust that we've developed with our dog, and the trust that has to exist in those relationships. And those kids were very engaged in those conversations in a way that I think would be a lot quieter conversation. It would be a lot more one-sided conversation without the dog. And he was able to wander around and interact with the kids, and they were able to identify some things and get him to interact with them too.
Well, I have been in front of high school students, and they are a tough crowd. So I'm glad Fonzie helped you out there.
Yeah, if you can impress a high schooler, you're doing all right.
Well, thank you so much for being with us here, Jennifer. And we wish Fonzie all the best of luck in his future learning endeavors.
Yes, thank you. We're getting another set of buttons today, so we'll see what new words he can say the next time.